The Tragedy of Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. Act 5, Scene 1. On the Plains of Philippi. Octavius, Antony, and their army enter.
Now, Antony, our hopes are answered. You said the enemy would not come down, but keep the hills and upper regions. It proves not so, their battles are at hand. They mean to warn us at Philippi here, answering before we do demand of them.
Tut! I'm in their bosoms, and I know wherefore they do it. They could be content to visit other places and come down with fearful bravery, thinking by this face to fasten in our thoughts that they have courage, but 'tis not so.
Enter a messenger.
Prepare you, generals. The enemy comes on in gallant show. Their bloody sign of battle is hung out, and something to be done immediately.
Octavius, lead your battle softly on, upon the left hand of the even field.
Upon the right hand eye, keep thou the left.
Why do you cross me in this exigent? I do not cross you, but I will do so.
There is a marching, a drum, and Brutus, Cassius, and their army enter, with Lucilius, Titinius, Messala, and others.
They stand and would have parley.
Stand fast, Titinius. We must out and talk.
Mark Antony, shall we give sign of battle?
No, Caesar. We will answer on their charge. Make forth. The generals would have some words.
Stir not until the signal.
Words before blows. Is it so, countrymen?
Not that we love words better as you do.
Good words are better than bad strokes, Octavius.
In your bad strokes, Brutus, you give good words. Witness the hole you made in Caesar's heart, crying, "Long live, hail Caesar!"
Antony, the posture of your blows are yet unknown, but for your words they rob the Hyplebees and leave them honeyless.
Not stingless, too?
Oh, yes, and soundless, too, for you have stolen their buzzing, Antony, and very wisely threat before you sting.
Villains! You did not so when your vile daggers hacked one another in the sides of Caesar. You showed your teeth like apes and fawned like hounds and bowed like bondsmen kissing Caesar's feet, while damned Casca like a cur behind struck Caesar on the neck. Oh, flatterers!
Flatterers!
Now, Brutus, thank yourself. This tongue had not offended so today if Cassius might have ruled.
Come! Come, the cause, if arguing makes us sweat, the proof of it will turn to redder drops. Look, I draw a sword against conspirators. When think you that the sword goes up again? Never, till Caesar's 33 wounds be well avenged, or till another Caesar have added slaughter to the sword of traitors.
Caesar, thou canst not die by traitors' hands unless thou bringest them with thee.
So I hope. I was not born to die on Brutus's sword.
Oh, if thou wert the noblest of thy strain, young man, thou couldst not die more honourably.
A peevish schoolboy, worthless of such honour, joined with a masker and a reveller.
Old Cassius still.
Come, Antony, away.
Defiance, traitors, hurl we in your teeth. If you dare fight today, come to the field. If not, when you have stomachs.
Octavius, Antony, and their army exit.
Why, now, blow wind, swell, billow, and swim bark. The storm is up, and all is on the hazard.
Ho! Lucilius, hark, a word with you.
My lord?
Brutus and Lucilius talk apart.
Messala?
What says my general?
Messala, this is my birthday, as this very day was Cassius born. Give me thy hand, Messala. Be thou my witness that against my will, as Pompey was, am I compelled to set upon one battle all our liberties. You know that I held Epicurus strong and his opinion. Now I change my mind, and partly credit things that do presage. Coming from Sardis on our former ensign, two mighty eagles fell, and there they perched, gorging and feeding from our soldiers' hands, who to Philippi here consorted us, This morning are they fled away and gone, and in their steads do ravens, crows, and kites fly o'er our heads, and downward look on us, as we were sickly prey. Their shadows seem a canopy most fatal under which our army lies, ready to give up the ghost.
Believe not so.
I but believe it partly, for I am fresh of spirit, and resolved to meet all perils very constantly.
Even so, Lucilius.
Now, most noble Brutus, the gods today stand friendly, that we may, lovers in peace, lead on our days to age. But since the affairs of men rest still uncertain, let's reason with the worst that may befall. If we do lose this battle, then is this the very last time we shall speak together. What are you then determined to do?
Even by the rule of that philosophy by which I did blame Cato for the death which he did give himself, I know not how, but I do find it cowardly and vile, for fear of what might fall, so to prevent the time of life, arming myself with patience to stay the providence of some high powers that govern us below.
Then, if we lose this battle, you are contented to be led in triumph through the streets of Rome?
No, Cassius, no. Think not, thou noble Roman, that ever Brutus will go bound to Rome. He bears too great a mind. But this same day must end that work the Ides of March begun. And whether we shall meet again, I know not. Therefore, our everlasting farewell take.
Forever.
And forever farewell, Cassius. If we do meet again, why, we shall smile. If not, why, then this parting was well made.
Forever. And forever farewell, Brutus. If we do meet again, we'll smile indeed. If not, 'tis true, this parting was well made.
Why, then, lead on.
Oh, that a man might know the end of this day's business ere it come. But it sufficeth that the day will end, and then the end is known. Come ho, away.
All exit. The end of Act 5. Scene 1 of The Tragedy of Julius Caesar, read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.